So the epistle for the 17th Sunday after Pentecost is taken from Ephesians chapter 4. Brethren, I, a prisoner in the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation in which you are called, with all humility and mildness, with patience, supporting one another in charity, careful to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, one body and one spirit, as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and the Father of all, who is above all and through all and in us all, who is blessed forever and ever. Amen. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from Matthew chapter 22. At that time, the Pharisees came to Jesus, and one of them, a doctor of the law, asked him, tempting him, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart, and with thy whole soul, and with thy whole mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. And the second is like to this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments dependeth the whole law and the prophets." And the Pharisees, being gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, "What think you of Christ? Whose son is he?" They say to him, "David's." He saith to them, How then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit on my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool"? If David then call him Lord, how is he his son? No man was able to answer him a word, neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. Please be seated. Because by thy holy cross thou hast redeemed the world. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We think back to when our Lord was presented in the temple. At that time when our Lord was presented as an infant, the holy man Simeon prophesied two different things. You can say two different parts. One, that our Lord would be a sign of contradiction to the world. And then secondly, that seven swords would then pierce the heart of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Holy Mother of the Church, in her wisdom, places two feasts that kind of, in a sense, commemorate this prophecy of Simeon. It also shows to us, it commemorates, we can say, the plan of God, the redemption of the world. Yesterday was the feast of the Exaltation of the Holy Cross. Today we have the Feast of the Seven Sorrows of Our Lady. And as I say, Holy Mother Church places these back to back. And it's for a reason that she does that. Because as I mentioned, it does commemorate the plan of God, the redemption of mankind. Obviously, the redemption of mankind was took place at the death of our Lord on the cross. Dying on the cross, he was able to redeem mankind, to conquer sin. That's what we say, that the cross conquered sin. And it is this sign of conquering to the world. A sign of conquering to the world, to everyone outside of the world, but then also to us. Because it is something that should mean so much to all of us. And that's why we can say so importantly that the sign of the cross, and when we make that, it is a means of a profession of our faith. That is why they said when St. Bernadette made the sign of the cross, she edified those that are around her, because she obviously understood what it meant by making the sign of the cross, that it was a profession of her faith, that it was a sign of the redemption of mankind and the accepting of that. And so when we had yesterday the exaltation of the Holy Cross, this great feast, we exalt the cross because the cross is our salvation. I mean, that is why we say at the Stations of the Cross, "Because by thy holy cross thou hast redeemed the world." We say that over and over again throughout the Stations, but it's something that should penetrate into our souls. That by our Lord's death on the cross, he was able to redeem the world. Then it's up to us whether we accept that redemption or not. Whether we accept what our Lord died on the cross for. But then also when we look at today's feast also, you will see at Mass there is a commemoration of it. A commemoration of the seven sorrows of Our Lady. This is one of the few feasts that occurs twice in the liturgical year. I mean, obviously on September 15th is the feast day itself. But we also have it commemorated during the time of Passiontide. The Friday before Holy Week, we always have then the Seven Sorrows again. And when we look at this feast, I mean, yes, it commemorates something that is very sorrowful, something that it saddens us to see that Our Lady would have to suffer so much. But Our Lady, she recognized that fact when she said her fiat. She realized that her heart would be pierced with seven swords, and she knew that because she was the Mother of God. And then the sorrow that she would have to carry through the rest of her life. I mean, to think, at the time when they're presenting this child at such a young age in the temple, and for Simeon, it was something that he waited his life to be able to hold our Lord. But then for him to say these words to St. Joseph and the Blessed Virgin Mary, that for her, she would have to wait 33 years for it to come to fruition. The ultimate sacrifice that our Lord would give of his life for all of us to redeem mankind. And so she would have to wait that time period. And as we see with the Blessed Virgin Mary, many times it would be said that she would keep these things in her heart, that she would contemplate and she would meditate upon these things. And so, yes, we commemorate the sad occasion of Our Lady being pierced with seven swords. But again, it is something that commemorates the redemption of mankind. Because it was through Our Lady's fiat, through her willingness to be the Mother of God, that we can say the plan of God, the redemption of mankind, was able to take place. And as I say, full well, she knowing that she would be this mother who would suffer so much. And yet it is through that suffering that she would help and be then the co-redemptrix of mankind. That she too would play a part in our redemption. Our Lord redeemed the world by his death on the cross. But we also have to look at the fact of Our Lady staying by our Lord that whole time, watching her son suffer so much, and yet accepting that for the good of mankind. And so from that, here we have Our Lady who stays faithful and then seeing her son die on the cross, and then taken from the cross and placed in her arms. And then you can just think back to then the time when she presented him in the temple, of how at that point that Our Lady must have felt as she held her son dead from the cross, of thinking back to the holy man Simeon and his words, his prophecy that he gave to her, that our Lord would be a sign of contradiction to the world, but then also that seven swords would pierce her heart. And so we can say because of her willingness to be the Mother of God, she also became the Mother of Sorrows. And this suffering that she would have to undergo for the good of souls, for the good of us. And so as I say, these two feasts, the Church places them back to back because it gives us that time to meditate and to think about truly how much that our Lord and our Lady, they place for the salvation of mankind. That our Lord, knowing that he would be the sign of contradiction to the world by his words, by his miracles, by all the actions that our Lord would perform in his public life. And yet only over this 3-year period that our Lord would suffer all of these things, would do all these things, teach these things, and yet he would die on the cross for all of us. And so that is why then we have this great feast of the exaltation of the Holy Cross, that we exalt that the cross is our salvation. And so that is something that we must meditate upon, as I say, just in the simplicity of making the sign of the cross. I mean, do we consider that? Do we understand that when we're in public, in a restaurant, we need to make the sign of the cross? And do we do it hurriedly, or do we do it in a way that no one really sees us? Or in a sense, God forbid, if we just don't even want to make it. As I say, the sign of the cross is a profession of our faith. It is a means for us to show to the world that we truly believe in our Lord Jesus Christ, and that through his death on the cross is our salvation. I mean, do we contemplate that? Do we think about that? There was a bishop, Bishop Guam, who wrote an entire book on the sign of the cross. We may think to ourselves, you know, what could he say in an entire book on that? But if we understand it, that it is our salvation, well, yes, there is so much to be said of it. So much to be said of the sign of the cross, so much to be said of our Lord's death on the cross, and why our Lord died on the cross, and why for us that is truly the means of our faith and the means of our salvation. It's an expression of our faith. That is why, I mean, your house, your room should be decorated with a cross, a crucifix. When a crucifix has the corpus of our Lord on it. And so that is what recognizes us as believers of our Lord. And so our homes should all have crucifixes in them. Our homes, all of our rooms should be adorned with a cross. If not, it's something that we must look into. Because how sad if our houses are not in recognition of our Lord's death on the cross. And so that is something that we must try to understand and examine for our own souls. Do we understand how important that is? And also the devotion to the Stations of the Cross. Is it something that we just do during the time period of Lent because the church is doing it? And it's a devotion that we must have in understanding why our Lord died on the cross. In seeing all that our Lord went through as we walk that way of the cross, just as Our Lady did the first time. And truly on the 7th and the 12th station, when we think about our Lord's death, that he died for every one of us. He died in order for us to get to heaven. And so these are the things that we must contemplate. These are the things we must try to examine for us. And then, yes, the devotion to Our Lady, the devotion to the seven sorrows, but then devotion to Our Lady in general, of how important she is in the eyes of the Catholic Church. She's the Mother of God, but she's also the co-redemptrix. That she has this official title by the Church. And so that Our Lady, that she would hold these things in her heart and suffer these things for all of us. Of how it pierced her heart. And here you have a soul that was completely innocent also. We know that Our Lady, she was conceived without original sin. And yet she had to suffer all of this. And why? To help redeem mankind. It was through the fiat that she said, this willingness to accept in being the Mother of God, that the plan of God would take place. So through this, Our Lady wanted to be mother to us all. So that is why it's important for us to contemplate and to think about this devotion to the seven sorrows. Because I think through that, if we understand that, if we have a better grasp of what Our Lady suffered for all of us, truly I think it will help us then to avoid sin. I mean, just as hopefully we would never want to offend our own mothers or hurt our own mothers, how much also for the Mother of God, of how much she was willing to suffer and to die for all of us, of how she knew that her Son would die for all of us, and the accepting of that. And yet, Our Lady, she would hold these things in her heart and contemplate them in sorrow. I mean, these are words that we see in sacred scripture of all that Our Lady would go through and undergo. And for what? For the redemption of mankind, for the salvation of our own soul. And so therefore, that is why the Church places these two feasts back to back. to show us how important that they are. And by showing that to us, God willing, that it helps us to understand and to grasp that. That our Lord died on the cross to redeem us, and that Our Lady suffered these seven sorrows in order also for us to be redeemed. That she would also help to take a part in that. And so let us take these two feasts to contemplate and to meditate upon, to think about the state of our soul, to think about how do we profess our faith. Is it something that our home shows that it is a Catholic home? Is it something that when we're out in the world, at work or in a restaurant, do we show that we are a true Catholic? Or do we give ourselves over to just be like the rest of the world, not to stand out? I mean, just as our Lord was a sign of contradiction to the world around him, we too must be a sign of contradiction. We must be a sign of contradiction by our actions, by our words, and then also the way that we are. The people will see that we are different, different in a good way. That we're different because we are trying to live a life pleasing to God, which is contrary to the world around us. So we must be a sign of contradiction. We cannot be taken in by this world. And so from that, to pray and that truly that we are a sign of contradiction to the world around us. But then also that we have this devotion to our mother, a mother that loves us so much, that she would be willing to suffer all of these things in order for us to be saved, for us to be redeemed. So let us pray for that strength. Let us pray to Our Lady, her seven sorrows, to having this devotion. Let us also pray that we have a strong conviction of our faith, that we are willing to show our faith to the whole world. And then we will see that the words of our Lord that he says will also help to draw us to him. If I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all things to myself. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.